You're listening to 91.5 WMFO in Medford. This is the Astro Hour. Whereas most radio shows would probably cut this song off before the fade out, this beautiful, beautiful fade out. I got really annoyed at this the other day when a radio station cut off the fade out for some song. I forget what it was, but it was like a long fade. It was some Beatles song, but I forget what it was. It wasn't She's So Heavy. Great song, amazing fade out. But we're gonna play this through, and we're gonna talk over it though, because we need talking time. Isn't that right, Chris?
We need plenty of talking
time. My name is Zach Going, that's Chris. Hi. Chris is texting right now.
No, I'm Instagramming.
He's Instagramming. He takes the same.
We're letting people know we're on TV.
We're on the radio.
We're on the TV.
We're not on TV.
What?
You can turn the radio on your TV, I suppose, maybe.
Wait,
I think that's something you can do.
We're not on TV?
No, that's just a security camera over there. It's not a real camera.
What have I been doing for the past year and a half I've been here?
Your posing has been really strange, and now it makes a lot of sense.
So all of this flexing was for nothing?
It impressed me, Chris. It impressed me.
Well, thank you.
Wow, we shouldn't have even cut this off. Here we go. Whoops. Well, I guess now it's gone forever. Bye-bye.
Yeah, that was good. I like
that.
That was a fun
backtrack. There was some momentum there. There was some momentum that we had because of that song. That was good.
I'll just fade away. It'll just be like.
All right. So here's a question, Chris. I feel weird going straight into banter, honestly, from that.
Yeah, but we gotta.
Okay.
Gotta ride the wave.
Well,
the momentum.
I was just thinking, like, is this a time for current events? Is this? I don't really want to talk about current. When I first started the show, I wanted it to be more political. I wanted, because I was watching a lot of Rachel Maddow at the time, right? So I was thinking I really want to get on it. But now I'm really just into the banter thing now.
Yeah.
All right. Here's a question.
Good.
Here's a question. If you had to have a nickname,
yeah.
Stop Instagramming.
I gotta
pay attention. You can Instagram during the next.
If I had to have a nickname, what would it be?
You had to have a nickname. No. If you had to have a nickname that was also the name of a cocktail, what would it be?
Oh God.
Yeah. Mm. This is a strange one, isn't it? I asked this question to my sister, and my
screwdriver.
Oh, man, that's the one I chose.
Oh, wait, fine, I'll go with
man.
The
I'm not married to screwdriver, so we'll let's look up the list of IBA standard cocktails. That's what everyone chooses. Oh my God.
All right, give us a list then.
Yeah. Hold on one second.
Bad radio.
So I said this to my sister. Anyone who knows my sister knows that her primary attribute is that she's enthusiastic, and her secondary attribute is that she's very short. And she immediately goes, sidecar. And I'm like, well, that's perfect. Good job.
that's awesome. A great nickname.
It's also, it's just a great nickname.
Sidecar.
It sounds like the nickname of like a burglar or like some heist. Someone in a heist
Golden
movie.
Joe in the Seconds game.
So the International Bartenders Association has a list of official cocktails that are separated into three sections, correct?
Okay.
The Unforgettables, the Contemporary Classics, and the New Era drinks. And it's a long list, so we're not gonna list these off. But like, for example, Screwdriver and Sidecar are Unforgettables.
My nickname would be the Mary Pickford.
The Mary Pickford.
Gin Fizz. A real person's name.
I do think Gin Fizz is a great nickname for somebody. I would assume if I have a British friend out there, I would name them Gin Fizz. Gin Fizz. Old fashioned.
Mai Tai would be a great one.
Mai Tai?
Yeah.
I guess. Tuxedo. Tuxedo is a good nickname.
Yeah.
Tuxedo is a great nickname.
Tuxedo?
Manhattan.
What are the new eras? It's like the B-52?
The B-52 is a fascinating nickname.
Is that the Picasso Sour? Or
what? Pisco.
Pisco. There's like Picasso Sour.
That would be a great nickname. Oh, man. No, this is a great question. I like this question. Although everyone kind of says the same ones.
Yeah, because what other like mean?
Yeah, no one knows
cocktails?
All these.
No.
Like Kermit the Frog would be Grasshopper, obviously, because that's Kermit the Frog's favorite drink. But
is it?
Yeah.
Do we know?
He orders that in the Muppet movie. He's on the date with Miss Piggy and then they have a fight and he leaves and he goes to the bar, and then at the bar he orders a grasshopper. And Rolf the dog says, "Can we get a grasshopper for the frog?"
That's a great Rolf the dog impression. We get a grasshopper.
We get a grasshopper for the frog. For the frog. My name's Rolf. Rolf the dog. Rolf the dog's like one of my favorite Muppets. I think.
Of course he would.
That's
be.
Another great question is what is your favorite Muppet? Oh, is very God. Important question.
Animal's great, but everybody loves Animal.
Everyone loves Animal, and I don't necessarily
Gonzo?
Understand why.
Gonzo's great.
I'd say my favorite is probably Scooter or Rolf.
So here's the thing. My favorite Muppet-based movie growing up was Muppet's Christmas Carol.
Okay.
Because
good choice.
My favorite Muppet is Michael Caine.
There is another.
No, my favorite Muppet is the Ghosts of Christmas Present. Just the big,
big Muppet. They used to do a lot more full-sized Muppets than they do now.
Did you ever see the video before you go of the Muppet Show bloopers?
Yes.
Of, like the rolling drum.
They're really good at that.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Span chain. That one is great. If you haven't seen that, you should definitely go out and watch it. Just search the Muppet Show bloopers. They put out a ton of them.
So here's a question that we're going to think about during our next musical interlude, which is about to happen, which is if you pick a movie to be where all the actors get replaced by Muppets, except for one character who has to be played by a famous comedian. And that is the question that we're going to think about while we go. Oh, I need to introduce the next song. The next song is an acoustic cover of... an acoustic cover recently released by the original artists of this song from 21 years ago. They released the song 21 years ago, and they just covered it acoustically. They actually covered the entire album acoustic.
Is it Africa by Toto?
It is not Africa by Toto. No, Toto did not. First of all, Africa by Toto did not come out 21 years ago in 1997.
I have no concept of time.
Here we go with this song. Remind you, they just covered this entire album, and this is the only hit off that album. Here we go.
And the liars, hey, I know it's just a song, but it's fast for the recipe. This is a love attack. I know when our body's back, it's just like any fat. It retracts before impact, and just like fashion, it's a passion for the within and in. If you got the goods, they'll come in by and just you stay in the clear. So don't delay, act now. Supplies are running out. Allow if you're still alive. 68 years to arrive. Has been revoked. The bone is broke. Got so choke up and foe. Guess on the clothes I miss. So is a gamble form. Now God like hope is bogus. So don't sit back, kick back and watch the world get pushed. Rag news and tell your neighborhood is under attack. Put away the crack before the crack put you away. You need to be there when your baby's old enough to relay. Hey, hey. So don't delay. Act now. Supplies are running out. Allow if you're still alive, 68 years to arrive.
to define, but you do it every time, and you do it again. Looking for signs of life, looking for signs every night, but there's no signs of life, so we do it again. Looking for signs of life, looking for signs every night, but there's no signs of life, so we do it again. First kiss tastes like cigarettes, dead men walking, take your best. Once again you lost your friends, around and around again. Those cool kids stuck in the past, palm mints of cigarette ash. Where we going, who did you ask? Those cool kids stuck in the past, in a world of cigarette ash. Where we going, who did you ask? Who did you ask? Looking for signs of life, looking for signs every night, but there's no signs of life, so we do it again. Sick. Looking for signs of life, looking for signs of life, looking for signs every night, but there's no signs of life, so we do it again. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, sometimes Sunday. Love is hard, sex is easy, God in heaven, could you please me? You think you invented life, you find it hard to define, but you do it every time. Looking for signs of life, looking for signs every night, but there's no signs of life, so we do it again. Still looking for signs of life, looking for signs of life, looking for signs every night, but there's no signs of life, so we do it again. Those cool kids stuck in the past, in a world of cigarette ash. Where we going? Who did you ask? Who did you ask? Looking for signs of life, looking for signs every night, but there's no signs of life, so we do it again. Looking for signs of life, looking for signs every night, but there's no signs of life, so we do it again.
Looking for signs of life, signs of life,
I wanted to play that song on the show for a long time, and I had never wanted to go through the process of having to censor it, but then I just decided. I listened to it yesterday in the car, and I was like, oh, I gotta play this. Like, it's so good.
What? Who was that, Zach?
That is Driftless Pony Club, one of my favorite bands ever, that no one knows about because it's just like one video blogger that I really like. It's like his college band. Before that was Arcade Fire with Signs of Life, and before that was Smash Mouth with Walking on the Sun acoustic. It ain't no joke. It's so good. No, it's a great song.
Yeah. Apparently the guys on Smash Mouth really like to talk trash to people on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Their like entire Twitter is like coming at people,
yeah,
who send them like mean and rude things.
At work the other day we did a lyrical analysis of Walking on the Sun because I couldn't stop listening to this this acoustic.
Why?
Why?
That was Socrates.
Yeah. I know all your jokes because I've seen all these specials, Chris. Have you given any thought to the question that we ended the last segment on?
You know what? I really haven't, but I'd like to hear what yours is.
Mine,
and I'll be thinking of it while
now,
you're
again, saying. Let's remind the audience. We are looking for a movie to replace every character with Muppets except one character who shall be played by a famous comedian. Famous comedian. Now, my answer is Baby Driver, where everyone is Muppets, but John Hamm's character is played by TV's Beck Bennett.
TV's
Beck Bennett.
What? SNL's Beck Bennett?
SNL's
just TV.
Beck Bennett. TV's Beck Bennett. He's also on the reboot of DuckTales. He plays Launchpad McQuack.
Duckland.
I think a funny... I think... Pulp Fiction, where...
I'm going to go an easy one after you do yours.
Pulp Fiction, where Vincent Vega is played by Bobby Moynihan.
Zach, seriously.
That'd be great.
Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Okay.
And Rufus is still played by George Carlin.
No, dumb. I could have just said Baby Driver, but John Hamm's character is still played by John Hamm.
Just imagine George Carlin interacting with a bunch of time-traveling idiot Muppets. Who are the two dumbest Muppets?
Who are the two dumbest Muppets? That'd be Beauregard... and
I mean
New Zealand. Beauregard and New Zealand.
Okay, imagine Beauregard and New Zealand playing Bill and Ted.
No, but it wouldn't be Beauregard and New Zealand. It would be members of the Electric Mayhem because obviously they have to be in a band, right? So it would be Zoot and
Animal.
No. It'd be Zoot. Animal would be
Ed Genghis Khan.
Animal would be Ed Genghis Khan. Zoot would be No. Okay, Beethoven would be Dr. Teeth. Yeah. Bill and Ted have to be Zoot and, what's his name? Floyd. Floyd Pepper.
These names are flying over my head, dude.
What? You don't know all the Muppets?
Janet, why are you surprised by that?
Janice would be, I don't know. I'm done with this, but I love it. It's so important. I love this.
Which movie would you watch?
I love Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. And I love the Muppets.
All Muppets, except for one.
Neil Cicerega on Twitter answered this question with, not a movie, but House of Cards, where Frank Underwood is played by Fred Willard. Which is fabulous. Just a fabulous thing.
Okay, how about Thor Ragnarok, but Loki is played by John Mulaney. Like, just imagine him as Loki.
Okay.
Everybody else is Muppet. The Hulk, who would play the Hulk as a Muppet?
That'd be Sweetums. Well, no, Sweetums would play the Hulk, but like Scooter would play Bruce Banner.
Yeah. You have to have two entirely different Muppets. It's great. See, you're thinking about this. You're like, okay, yeah, you gotta this could work.
I mean, you can turn anything into a Muppet movie.
Yeah.
You can turn anything into a Muppet movie. I don't want to say what property this is, but my sister and I once reenacted a bit of a film and cast an entire film using the entirety of the Muppets and then performed it to each other using the Muppet voices. And it was awesome. It worked so well.
Were you in a long car ride or something? Or were
No, Jessica and I just like coming up with weird things to do. And that's a good one because we love the Muppets and we love this property that will remain nameless because personally, I believe it's a brilliant idea and I don't want this to come out and me not get any royalties
is
for
this
it.
This is a Zach Going property that was a Going family property.
It is not a Going family property. There are no Going family properties.
I mean, listen, you might have stumbled upon something great that you discovered.
I mean, the unfortunate truth about things is that you never can get money for adaptations, so whatever.
Woo!
Yeah. Do we got another topic?
Another banter topic? Have you thought of any more movies that you've been thinking about this?
Ooh, man, you know, I'm trying to come up with a movie with like a female lead. Okay, let's get a little weird here. Let's do Mamma Mia, where Amanda Seyfried's character is played by Kate McKinnon. But everyone else is Muppets. Everyone else is Muppets.
Is her father the Swedish chef?
Her mother. Have you never seen Mamma Mia?
No, not at all.
What?
Nope.
Oh my God, Mamma Mia is so important, Chris. So first of all, it's an ABBA musical. I don't know if you know this.
I know who ABBA is, and yeah. I know that Mamma Mia is an ABBA musical.
And it's about the story of a young woman who, before her wedding day, is trying to find out who her father is, and she finds her mother's diary from around the time where she was conceived and found out that her mother had sex with 3 people around the time she was conceived. So she invites all 3 of them to the wedding and tries to figure out which one is her real father. It's a great musical and great movie. It's fabulous. And now they're making a sequel.
Yeah, I saw, unfortunately.
Fabulous. No, amazing. ABBA's amazing. I'm sick and tired of this cynicism coming from you, Chris. ABBA's great. ABBA musicals are great.
How about this? Jaws, but the shark is played by Mitch Hedberg.
Stop.
And everybody else is Muppets.
All right, fine. Let's do E.T., but Elliot is played by Kenan Thompson.
No. E.T.'s going to be the only one who's a human being.
Fine. And E.T. is played by Gilbert Gottfried.
Man, this sounds great. We're really on the ball here.
Jessica's asking me to talk about the immersive show of Mamma Mia. So there was a production of Mamma Mia. Jess, was it in New York? I think it was in New York, but I'm not sure. That takes place, it's like a dinner theater thing, so you go into a Greek restaurant, and Mamma Mia is just performed around you while you're in this Greek restaurant.
That sounds like the worst thing possible.
Dude, immersive theater is the best.
I hate everything that was just said about that.
All right.
That sounds terrible.
Well, here's some songs from The Parent Trap.
I'll tell you about the magic and the free your soul, but it's like trying to tell a stranger about a rock and roll. Oh, you believe Tomorrow I am leaving for Baltimore. You think I act like Harry Potter, like you're Voldemort. I don't care what you said, you didn't mean it like I did. Don't even start with me. Turn up the heat, turn up the heat. Please get out the kitchen, you're like vegan cheese. Try as I might, you never melt for me. It wasn't quite as funny at the time. Now in 10 minutes I will be 10 minutes away. Part of me thinks I should go back to the folk punk house and stay. Everybody was so nice there. There were lots of heavy things that stayed in place. And I wish that this was more like that, but when you feel held back, you slip away. And really, I get that, 'cause sometimes I also feel that way. But I'm older now, and I know this now is a game, it's a game, it's a game, and I can't play. Hey, hey. I am 21. I've been bored, I've been so bored, and I've been numb and dumb, and I'm still pretty young. Besides, I'm really getting so adept at preventing my own happiness. Complacency breeds latency, and that space, it sits deep in my chest. And the thing your breast has been at rest, but I try my best to see how close I can get to it, 'cause I get productive when I get upset. Hey. So now in 10 minutes I will be 10 minutes away. Part of me thinks I should leave right now, but I sit back and stay. I've been bored, I've been so bored, and I've been looking for a little bit of heartache.
to get back in the States, back to the cutest girls in the world. I wish they all could be California. I wish they all could be California. I wish they all could be California girls. Oh.
We're back.
Woo.
Yeah. Chris, do you have a message for us?
Yeah, just some numbers to think about, you know, coming off the 4th of July. Some numbers to think about with American alcohol consumption. Just 10% of the adult population drinks more than 3/4 of all alcohol consumed in the United States, while 30% of American adults don't drink at all. Another 30% average less than one drink per week. The top 10% of American adults, 24 million of us, consume an average of 74 drinks per week. More than 10 drinks a day. Some numbers to think about. This has been a public service message from WMFO in Medford. Tufts Educational Radio.
That's actually, every time I read that PSA, I'm like, that is astounding statistics.
Yeah, it's a little much.
And they're real. Like, yeah. I've looked at, like, the first time I read that PSA, I looked at the study it was citing.
Yeah.
And it's like a legit, like those are real statistics.
Yeah.
Which is
kind of
frightening. It's so scary.
You know, that's like 10% of the population.
It's like 10% of the population are, oh my god, dude. Oh my god. It's not even that. Like, it's honestly, it's like a smaller percentage of the population are like having even more.
Yeah.
Like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. Good Burger. Midnight Friday at the Somerville Theater.
Where Zach works.
Be there or be square. Oh wait, let me pick up the poster that I made.
Yeah, we're not giving free advertisement, but
No. I'm giving free advertisement. I mean, yeah. I go see Good Burger.
No free ads. Hashtag no free ads.
11:59 PM Somerville Theater. No, this is the free ad I'll give.
Tomorrow. Like,
I am completely serious this. So this is the poster I made for it. I don't know if you see it, but it
Yes, this is bad radio.
Yeah, this is bad radio. But it says in 1997, the greatest anti-capitalist film of all time was released to the public. The film chronicles the lives of two working-class heroes as they face systemic injustices, are pitted against their fellow workers, and ultimately wage war on capitalism itself. Stand with your fellow man against the system that enslaves us all. Watch Good Burger, Friday, July 6th at 11:59 PM.
Also,
tickets, $12.
Not gonna lie, Good Burger, one of my favorite films of all time.
Okay. I just want to point out, though, before we leave this poster, my favorite
solidarity.
My favorite part, yes, it starts with solidarity. I left that out. But my favorite part is right at the end, just tickets, $12.
Yes, the greatest anti-capitalist
film of all time. Tickets, $12. Oh, I love that. I was going to have Chris take a Good Burger quiz.
Because I have seen that movie.
But these are dumb questions on this quiz. These are super easy.
Let's try it. I've seen the movie billions of times.
Okay.
I will say, as a kid, back when renting,
question one, the movie is based on a sketch from what variety show? All that easy.
Okay, you didn't let me answer.
Oh, but you know that one. Everyone knows that one. If
no.
you don't know that, everyone knows that. All right, fine. Why does Dexter get a job at Mondo Burger?
What are the options? It's a multiple choice quiz.
He needs to pay for his teacher's car repairs. His parents make him. He was fired from Good Burger. He is blackmailed by Kurt.
He needs to pay for his teacher's car repair.
Correct.
Mr. Wheat, who is played by Sinbad.
What is true? Oh, it doesn't correct you as you're going down. It's like
That's
you
fine.
Have to... Okay, fine. What is true about Otis, the Good Burger employee who makes the fries? He's a vegetarian. He's 77 years old. He's not really a people person. Or he's super friendly and cheerful.
Okay, I could name everybody on this list. So Spatch is not really a people person. He's the big, heavy...
If you do this, we're not finishing this quiz.
Otis is the 77-year-old fry person.
What decade does Dexter's teacher think he is in?
The 70s. The ma never sleeps.
What's the major
Can I get a witness?
What's the major difference between Good Burgers and Mondo Burgers?
Mondo burgers are injected with triamphenol, which is an illegal chemical that makes them grow twice, three times its size.
This is actually fascinating. Mondo burgers cost less, come with more toppings, are larger, and have special sauce are the option. I would assume are larger.
Are larger. That's what Mondo burgers are, huge.
What color is Ed's good sauce?
Orange. But first you start off with a little lemon juice, then you sprinkle in some pickles.
What basketball player does Dexter and Ed deliver a good burger to?
Shaq! Hold on. No. The best part of that is the scene that Shaq orders a burger. He's like, yo, my man, I ordered tomatoes on this. I don't see no tomatoes. And Ed opens it in his shirt pocket, pulls out a tomato, puts it on it. You've officially been tomatoed. You're not like other people, are you? No?
Oh, Kel.
All right, let's continue.
What do Dexter and Ed eat when they're on a double date with Monique and Roxanne?
Corn dogs. How do they get the wiener in the corny exterior? A question that's plagued mankind for centuries.
What model plays Roxanne?
Carmen Electra.
Wow. Good job. How do Ed and Dexter get into the kitchen of Mondo Burger after they find out something is wrong with Mondo Burgers?
They jump on the burger, jump on the fries, shimmy up the straw, and then slide down the straw for the vent.
That is not an option.
What are the options?
Oh, wait. The option is they sneak in from the top.
Yeah, they go in through the roof. They jump on the burger, jump up on the fries, shimmy up the straw, and then slide down. And then Keenan's character, Dexter, says, what is this, American Gladiators?
What good
Which was
burger,
outdated in 1997.
What good burger employee is kidnapped and placed with Ed and Dexter?
Abe Vigoda, Otis.
What is something that Ed does not do to escape the asylum?
Oh, so what are the options?
He distracts.
I know he distracts
all the employees and patients with music.
He
throws ice cream at the asylum truck. He jumps out a window and he dresses like an asylum employee.
Okay, so here's what he does. He's sitting on a couch with George Clinton from Funkadelic.
Yeah, of course.
Sitting there, they're listening to the, like, elevator music, and George Clinton turns to him, ooh, this music sucks. He's like, yeah, it does, hang on. He goes, turns the radio on and turns on some Parliament.
Okay.
So they sing and dance, he jumps out a window, and then they throw ice cream from an ice cream truck they steal.
So they do not dress as an asylum employee.
Yes, they don't dress as an asylum employee.
Who does
Dexter steals the keys.
Who does Ed stop from eating the good sauce?
An old lady. I just tackled that old
one
lady.
One of the answers is an old lady. What falls on Dexter's teacher's car when he is at Mondo Burger?
The Mondo Burger that's on the top of the building.
And finally, what is the final thing Ed says in the movie?
Well, there's only one thing to say. Welcome to Good Burger, home of the Good Burger. Can I take your order?
Ha. You got,
what did I get wrong?
An almost perfect score.
What did I get wrong?
How do Ed and Dexter get into the kitchen of Mondo Burger after they find out something is wrong with Mondo Burgers?
Oh,
they dress like women.
Okay, that's okay.
That's how they get into Mondo Burger in the first place, is they shimmy up the straw.
Okay, that is negligible details. I have seen that movie. Oh, what? That's they dress up as old women,
yeah. And
then Dexter pretends to have a hot flash, and he starts saying, oh, water, and like the guys are like, okay, we'll get you water. They take him down, and they rip their wigs off.
Introduce your song, Chris.
I'm furious about this right now, about this Good Burger quiz.
Oh, wait, my sister also offered you to make a medium to hard Good Burger trivia question for tomorrow, and you'll get a gift.
Me?
Well, yeah, because we need to have a trivia question to introduce the movie.
Oh.
You don't need to do it now. I'm just saying this is a job offer live on television.
What's my gift? Is it Good Burger in 35 millimeters?
It is not Good Burger in 35 millimeters.
All right. So Zach told me to introduce the song, so I'm going to. Zach has been very gracious with the amount of times that he's let me play songs from bands I know, bands I like. And we've played a couple songs from this band called Cue the Sun. They've put out two singles so far, and they've now a third, which are going to be playing today. For those of you who don't know the background, I've talked about it a little bit before. Cue the Sun is a band that was fronted by a singer, my friend Pat's brother, Eric. Eric unfortunately passed away September of last year and didn't get to finish recording the album with this band. So now the band and Pat are working together to put together the album as a whole, and they're putting out four singles. They have a fourth one coming out, I want to say, very soon. And then after that, the album will be out sometime in the summer. So we're going to be playing the third single, which is really a cool one, Zach, because I think I've talked to you about it.
Mm-hmm.
Eric recorded the first verse and the first chorus, but never got to record the second one. So Pat stepped in vocals, and it's so Eric sings the first chorus and the first verse, and then Pat comes in and sings the second one. So it's the two of them sort of singing together. It's really cool, kind of eerie. It's really cool. I like it.
I do.
So,
let's get into it.
Let's hear it.
A slight attempt made to say hello, but why make the effort any worth it to try? If I finally woke up and you're seeing things, do you want my thief in the night without the disguise? Been labeled statutory fake, but I'm only saying what a friend would say, so I can't complain. I didn't want it to end this way. Never meant to destroy your flow. The twisted thing is, I bet you could teach me something about keeping it.
Sometimes I hate how much I love Blink-182.
I love that so much.
Like, it's just so good.
Yeah.
They're just so good.
I think I forgot to mention the name of the song.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Yeah. So, for those who were listening, sorry I didn't mention it. The title of the Cue the Sun song we listened to was called Oath, I Lied. So that's, if you want to go out there, I'll see if I can put it on our Twitter page if we still have access to it.
I love when punctuation is in the middle of a song.
Yeah, Oath.
It makes me fun.
Question mark.
It makes me have fun.
It's a great tune.
And that was Blink-182 with Yesenia.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
All right.
You were going to lament about Good Burger, but yes. Actually I think we should sign off because I just realized the next song that I'm playing is like 6 minutes long. Yeah.
I just want to say this, that whoever gave Good Burger a 32% on Rotten Tomatoes is an incorrect human being.
That would actually be... that would be 68% of critics gave it a 32% of Rotten Tomatoes. So
68%.
Rotten Tomatoes is dumb.
68% of critics are wrong.
I'm like a big... I honestly hate Rotten Tomatoes as a metric. Because do you know how Rotten Tomatoes does it?
No.
They scan reviews as to whether or not they are positive or negative, and it's just the percentage of positive reviews is what the Rotten Tomatoes score is.
That's garbage.
But it's dumb, right? Because like a movie isn't either good or bad. It is something in between always, right? Mm-hmm. So it's super dumb. I hate when things are put on metrics like that.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Listen.
I hate negativity.
It should be a 100% positive rating for Good Burger because that is just good, wholesome fun good, for wholesome the entire fun. Family.
I love Good Burger. And it's the greatest anti-capitalist film of all time.
The greatest scene in it, too, is when the dog comes up. What is it, dog? What is it, boy? A bunch of clouds? Car broke down. And then they just feed the dog. And then it cuts to a bunch of clouds, the broken down car. Where's that damn dog?
You've been listening to the Astro Hour. Thank you so much for tuning in.
Yeah, thanks.
It has meant the world to me. Tune in next week. Same time, same place. The Astro Hour. My name has been Zach Going. This has been my guest, Chris Del Russo. Chris, say hi.
Bye.
Bye. Here is a fabulous summer song. See you later.